We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Got the four fingers in the air.
It's only eight fingers this time because we're missing two people. Usually we have 16.
But they are two talented sets of four fingers.
That's right.
Anyway, Keystone Kickoff Show is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. What we're going to do here, Bob, fourth quarter, and this was your idea, and I think it's a great one. There's always a few veterans, maybe a couple, maybe a few veterans who step up every year.
Right, right.
And we could go back through.
We can go to James's first year. I know we don't remember this, but because he was a guy that struggled earlier in his career before James got there. Sam Ficken was a guy you know, that you remember what happened to him in 2012 against Virginia. That was a tough time for him. The kid stuck with it. And James praised him going into the 2014 season, and all the beat writers are looking at each other going, why are you praising a kicker? Like, what? And, but he, if you look at some of the games that Penn State was in that year, especially the Central Florida game against in Ireland, he had to make that pressure kick. And it's almost been a tradition, especially during James's time. There's going to be a couple guys that are either fifth year players or fourth year juniors that haven't really put it all together yet, that they're going to put it all together this year. You know, Deshaun Hamlin's done it in the past. Troy Apke's done it in the past. You can go down. Nick Scott did it last year. There's going to be somebody, Amani Arawari, even though he was a good player as a junior, was even better as a fifth-year senior. There's going to be two guys at the end of the year you're going to say, boy, Penn State couldn't even have gotten to this point if those guys hadn't played their butts off.
And I believe there's a trend where it seems like defensive backs are a common theme. It seems like every year.
Safeties, especially.
Troy Apke seems to be the one that I'd like to bring up that really came out of nowhere. So let's start in the defensive backfield.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Yeah, so to me it is, you know, John, it was really a tale of two halves of the season for John Reed. He was a really, I thought, really, really good player at Penn State in 2016. They fast-tracked him. He played as a true freshman in 2015, really started to show some good things. And then I thought he was a really good corner for them in 2016. He's small, and he got picked on once in a while, but you're going to have that against good teams. 2017, in the spring, he had a serious knee injury, wiped out his year. They thought he'd be able to hit the ground running last year. That wasn't the case. They actually held him out of two games early. I think after the App State game, I don't think he played against Pittsburgh, and I think maybe Kent State. He didn't play. And then they put him back in, and he started to get better as the year went on. He was asked about it. He said, yeah, he just was not comfortable last year. He missed too much. He was away so long that his timing as far as trying to get reads and game speed and all of that, it just took him a little bit longer to get that back. I think he feels like a guy that he's not hesitating. He's not overthinking. The fact that he's got to shadow guys like KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson, I think will only help him this preseason in the fall. He's pretty sure he can run a 4.3. I think physically he feels really good. He's a smart kid. He's going to be great in the slot for them. I think that he will be not only a leader, but I think he'll be one of their three or four best players on defense. And I know they've got some talented players, but I think he will be one of the three or four best players on defense.
And another year removed from the injury.
Just
staying in with the DBs, I'll bring up a name, may not qualify, but Garrett Taylor, because I love the way he finished the season.
Yeah.
I guess in the bowl game it was, he came up, made some real big hits. I love that from a safety. And he's being talked up by James Franklin. Like I said, I'm not sure he qualifies, but I think he's one.
Absolutely.
Who else do you have on defense? Let's stay on that side of the
guy
ball.
The guy that I really do believe that his best football, you're going to see it this year, because I think that he's finally kind of – he's very sure of himself out there. He is a very he's a top at Cam Brown is a guy that I think is going to really be a guy that is going to form a great bookend at outside linebacker with Micah Parsons. He played some pretty good football for Penn State in the last 4 or 5 weeks. He looks more like a defensive end, or I don't know what he just is such a. It's weird to see somebody that's almost 6'6", 230 pounds playing outside linebacker, but he can run. He can deflect passes. He doesn't have to come off the field. He's a good blitzer. And I think that, and James has kind of said that, I think the staff is really excited about what he can do. I think he absolutely will be a guy that you're going to be surprised by his disruptive numbers this year. By that, I mean, it's great when guys have like 85 or 90 tackles, but if they only have one or two tackles for loss and they're not active as a pass defender, I mean, you got out. Where are those tackles coming? Are they coming up the field? What are you doing? I think you're going to see some tackles for loss, some sacks, some pass breakups, and some interceptions from Cam Brown. I think he's going to be one of the more complete linebackers in the Big Ten.
And when you have a guy who's a bit different with his height, he's 6'5", almost 6'6", yeah. As you said, sometimes it takes a while for that type of athlete to grow into the body and kind of figure it out.
Never got a redshirt year, too, worth noting. Like they played him as a true freshman. He had the block kick against Ohio State. But, I think that year, it's not a lost year, but it's a big deal when you have an extra year. And I think that he maybe could have used it. Maybe they played him a little bit too early, but they had to because they had injuries in 2016. If you remember, that was – or 2015, excuse me. But Kabinda was banged up in 2016 as well. I just think that he's a guy that – he's really a fourth-year player. He's not a fifth-year player. I think this is going to be a big year for him.
And looks like he was figuring it out as the year went on. You did have one more defensive player.
Yeah, Jan Johnson. I think that he's a guy that, I want to say Jan is a, and I mean this as a compliment, he's a better version of Brandon Smith. And I think that Brandon Smith helped Penn State in 2016 and 2017. Jan is a very good athlete. I think we probably overlooked the fact that he is an athletic player. He's tested very well. Dwight Gault said, when you look at what he does physically, he's one of our best pound-for-pound athletes. Obviously very smart. He was productive last year. I think last year is going to be a springboard for him this year. As much as Ellis Brooks physically is a guy that maybe they like, I think it's going to be hard to keep Jan off the field. I think he's a guy that is going to be like a coach on the field, but also has the athleticism to hold up against some of the better offensive lines that Penn State's going to see.
I'm going to throw out two more names, and I'm going to do it more because of the position they play, which is safety. And they're always, as I said, there always seems to be someone else back there. Lamont Wade might still not qualify as that veteran fourth and fifth year guy, but either Wade or Sutherland are going to be the guy who's going to be thrown out there, right?
Almost by default. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. There's also, let's not forget about the JUCO Brisker. But I, coming out of last season, my money would have been on Sutherland to claim that job. I don't know. It was Wade was running first team. So maybe Lamont really, the combination of his athleticism, his aggressiveness, his intensity, his energy, which is something John Reed referenced. I mean, there was a reason why he was a coveted kid, coming out of Clareton. I really thought it was going to be Sutherland, but I think Wade has, at the very least, I think it sounds like Wade's really closed the gap. And I'll be interested to see what a kid like Brisker can do coming into a new situation. I think Ross likes him, but sometimes it takes a little while just to kind of get settled at a major college.
It can, and I'm also going to point out with Wade going through the transfer portal process,
it might have made him better. Who knows what goes on when you're in the transfer portal, but maybe it helped.
Right, and then certainly going to the portal doesn't make you bigger, stronger, faster.
I was just kidding, but I mean, it might have gained him a little bit of clarity about what's important to him, and hey, if I'm going to what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? Do I want to go someplace else, or do I want to come back to Penn State, and do I want to really give it my best shot? Like I do mean that in all sincerity, and I think that the fact that Penn State, you know, they don't, I think when you're in the portal that you don't always get to come back. And I think the fact that they wanted him back speaks to volumes about what they think of him and also of his talent.
There might be a new focus from him this year, which would be great to see. All right, let's go to the offensive side. You had one name on
just
there from
one,
the
just
offense.
One.
Don't worry, I'll add more.
I know there's one other that I might have missed, but I think that he's played a lot of football at Penn State. We don't really talk about him a lot. Steven Gonzalez, he is one of the bigger offensive linemen I can remember at Penn State. He's every bit of his listed weight of 349 pounds, I can assure you. Solid player, but it's easy to lose track of what the interior offensive linemen are doing during the course of a game. But they've played him a lot. He played as a redshirt freshman, I believe, in 2016 when they had injuries, and it was just tough to get him off the field in 17 and in 18. So he's a guy that, I mean, he's going to have, at the very least, he should be a mentor to Mike Miranda. I don't know if maybe he can help out Rasheed Walker, but he plays a different position. There's another guy that could probably help out Rasheed Walker. But I think Steven Gonzalez, I mean, if he's improved every year, and I think that he has, the next step for him is to be under consideration to be an all Big Ten player, maybe not a first teamer, but I think if he's going to develop, he's got another step to go.
I'm going to stay on the offensive line also. I'm going to throw out Michael Mennett.
I thought you were going to go Fries there.
No, the reason why I went Mennett is I think that there's some extra responsibility that comes with playing center.
Yeah.
And he had some veterans around him, McGovern and Bates, last year. So I think the fact that he's now been in the system for several years, he's now a returning starter, and he's playing center, which, you know, is the center of the offensive line, calling signals, taking charge. I think he could look at this as his time to take charge of the offensive line. So I'm thinking Michael Mennett will be a breakthrough guy.
Yeah,
this year.
I thought he was very good, especially as the season went on. He got more comfortable at that position. He had been playing guard in the past, I mean, he's a guy that I think if he plays a little bit better than he did last year, I don't see any reason why he would return for another season at Penn State. I think he closed out last year as getting close to an NFL caliber player, and I think when you look at what he can do with his feet and his strength, that I can't imagine that there are more physically gifted centers in the Big Ten than Michael, and he's a guy that I think you make a great call there, Jimmy. I think that he was good last year. He should only get better this year. And I think down the line, his versatility is going to help him at the next level.
All right. That is it for our show this week. Thank you very much, Bobby Flo, for carrying the show.
Sure.
Without Ross and Andy here.
And Ross's ego. Don't forget about Ross's ego. We didn't have that.
Remember to download the Keystone Sports app from your app store to get all of our content. And we'll see you next week on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.